Lovely. Chris, thank you for leading us this morning. Great songs. They got the vote from my family when I was practicing yesterday. They said they're great songs. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 26 to 29. Simple passage from Jesus. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, I am genuinely not much of a gardener, right? I'm more of a concrete guy, as in, or a steel and wood guy. So in our house, which was a new house, where you clean everything off the block and build another one, Anne and I, we did the gardening that you see, and I think it's amazing. I did all the stuff that is not alive, right? And then Anne painted it with beautiful colours, with all the things that she's chosen. She'll say to me, what's the name? I don't even know. What is the name of that plant in the front, the tree in the front of our house? Crepe myrtle, right? It's a pretty tree, and I've seen it elsewhere, but I will never remember the name. It just doesn't stick for me. She's done an amazing job. But what I've noticed about gardens is that you plant and then you just don't put stuff in the soil. There's a lot of preparation required. You prepare the soil, then you plant, then you water it, and then you wait. There's a lot of waiting. And in that waiting time, it's very hard to know what's going on. And you can't unbury the seed and take a peek, because if it does, then that'll ruin the life of that seed. So this simple story that Jesus tells speaks to what happens with the seed and then what happens to us when God does his work in us. There's a seed that's planted in us. And night and day, whether you sleep or whether you get up, that seed in the soil of a willing heart grows. And I love how it says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. You know, when God's seed is planted in you, something is happening even though you can't see it. And it takes time. It takes a long time sometimes. And then suddenly out it pops. Henry, if you just play that video, watch this. Isn't this amazing? Out it pops. And when I watch this video of a seed coming up out of the soil, it doesn't take the mystery out of it. Doesn't mean that I'm going, oh, look at that. That's so clear now. I am even more amazed as I watch it happen and maybe just slightly freaked out. It just looks a bit freaky to me. But it doesn't make it less amazing. So imagine this seed, the seed of God's life in you. And all by itself, it bears fruit. It produces something miraculous. I had a little conversation with these terrible things called Facebook conversations, where a friend of mine posted up something about the thief dying on the cross and how he didn't need all this stuff called church and, you know, coffee and all that things and songs. And he went to heaven anyway. Well, the thief did live a short life, like a short one. He was on the cross, repented, and was glorified with Jesus, went into his glory. The rest of us, well, we've got a long life. And in the life that we live, that's what God's doing in us, is he's working his life out of us, producing fruit. Like if that thief had lived longer than the cross, he would have to work out, how do I reconcile with the people that I've hurt? How do I find an honest job? How do I deal with the reasons that drove me to be a thief, etc.? He has a lot of work to do. And Jesus' story reminds us that it's God's work producing grain in us. I can show you a real life example of how God's already done that. Would you like to see it? It's called me. This is me when I was a little boy. I'm the little guy down the front with a lot of hair. Still have a lot of hair today. I'm due for a haircut. But there's me. And I'm a little boy and my dad there, and there's my sister with not so much hair. We and then four other kids, we all grew up with our parents. And they planted in us seeds. They read us the Bible. They prayed with us. They took us to church. They took us to camps. They, in some instances, made me sing Jesus songs in front of crowds of people. They did a lot of things over the span of my growing up years in a lot of ways, and they planted the seed of God's life in me. And they couldn't see it growing. They didn't know how it was going. They couldn't dig up my life and examine it, just check, is it going the right direction? But one day when I was 9 and I was on a camp, a man asked us, the group of people, that if we wanted to give our lives to Jesus. And I listened to him and I knew that I had never done that for myself before. So at 9, I put my hand up and said I wanted to. And that wasn't the end of it, because God's seeds started to pop up and burst out. And I became one of God's brand new plants that started to produce fruit. With a willing heart, God can produce fruit in us that's good for us and good for others. And I've seen that repeated over and over and over and over again. I remember my sister, the other one person in that photo, when she became a Christian. Well, before she became a Christian, she was very anti-Christian. Didn't want anything to do with it. Also anti-men. She was a really fierce feminist. Oh, that's fine. But then she went to uni and she met Jesus. And those seeds went crazy. She went from a person who couldn't stand Christian stuff to being a dynamic example of what faith could do in somebody's life. She led in our youth ministry team. She saw people come to faith because she shared with others. I would love to have my sister one day come and preach here. She's probably one of the best preachers I know. She was on fire. And that's, again, something I've seen over and over again. When it's planted in the good soil of a willing heart, the life of God produces fruit. So over these last 4 weeks, we've been trying to encourage us that in our faith, we want to grow in a way that we will follow and help others follow Jesus, serve and help others serve, belong and help others belong. And the key there was the phrase, and help others. Like, it's great that following Jesus is good for me. That's excellent. But that is not even half the story. Actually, God's full intention for you and for me is that our faith will be good for others. Just getting started on it being good for you is great. But his intention is that it will be blessing to other people. And when that's at work in you, you will be excited to see how this unseen seed bears extraordinary fruit. I've been here nearly 5 years now, and I've gone a lot grayer. I think it's actually an age thing. But this last 6 months, I feel have been quite special to me in seeing what unseen seeds are now coming forth. And maybe this week is just one example of that. This week, some people that I met the very first day that I started, I met and we had a very interesting conversation about the book of Revelation. But they weren't as attached to a church and have become part of our church. Anyway, this week I was able to, one of them, I rang them up and I was just finding out how they're going. And she said to me, "I'm with a friend of mine who has multiple sclerosis, and are you able to pray with him?" So this is a person new to church stuff. And she says to me, "I'm sitting with a friend of mine who's very sick. Do you pray for people? Do priests like you pray for people?" I don't use the word priest for me, but that's what. And I said, "Yeah, of course. And we can do that over the phone right now. You put your friend on." So we prayed together. They put me on speakerphone, and the three of us prayed for this dear friend who's going through a serious challenge. And that speaks to me, that somebody has come from no connection really to church life and Christian things, is now sitting there wanting me to join with them as we pray for somebody in something that requires deep faith. Or Friday night. Friday night was a good night, but a little hectic in our little group, wasn't it, lads? But what I loved about the group that I was in, as we talked about friendship and faith, is I loved how the guys kept pushing each other to talk about the deep issues. That's pretty special to me, and I thank them for it. I love a text message that I got from someone who's sitting here today as I was just finding out how they're going, and they sent me back an extraordinary text message relating how much God has changed their life over the last, I'm guessing, nearly 12 months from, again, not being connected to Christian things to what God is doing now. I got an email yesterday from one of our young people saying, "How can I pray for you?" It's like, I'm glad you asked. Whoops, sorry. Let's kick the offering over. Yesterday, I was at a green team thing for Hindley Street, and a few people said to me, and I will name you, my friend, "What's with Joe?" Joe's over here on my right. He's one of our youth group leaders. "What's with Joe? He seems to be in everything at the moment." And I just know that, Joe, you've said yes to God this year. Whatever God's going to throw your way, you've been saying yes to, and that's pretty exciting. Our youth leaders. As I looked at our youth leaders on Friday night, most of them would be pretty young Christians, right? And we're putting you, I think you're pretty much all here, we're putting you in front of people who are either not Christian or over it or wanting to grow, but we're putting you in front of them, and you're taking the opportunity to help them grow in faith. And the blokes group that I'm really glad to be part of on Thursday night, I just watched our group and the dynamic of friendship and vulnerability and robust sharing was present. And I just kind of watched it all happen around me and thought, yeah, God's at work here. People are better off because we're together and we're growing in faith together. Pastorally, I know I'm walking with some people who are dealing with serious challenge in their life for the first time. That's extraordinary. If you've lived a long life with Jesus, and there's stuff that Jesus was wanted to put his finger on, but you haven't had the ability to until now, and now you're dealing with it. Now it's a struggle that you're facing. I think that's extraordinary. To me, they're just some examples this week of the way that God's seed is at work in people's life. And when they're willing, they have a willing heart, God produces his fruit in them. It may not be at your pace. I did plant some seeds recently. I have a garden with all a lawn with all these patchy spots. So I planted some seed and I'm out nearly every day looking at those patchy spots going, when will this seed grow? I thought they said it would be 10 days. Is it dead yet? Maybe I should dig it up and see if it's dead. No, I just got to leave it, don't I? And wait. And maybe you feel like that with God's work in your life. It's not fast enough. I'm not seeing the seeds of it. Maybe you feel like that with your children or with your friends or with your partner. Well, in a willing heart, God's fruit, seed produces fruit. This simple key of and help others, a faith that isn't just good for me, it's good for others too. All started with me thinking through kids' church. How do I help our children grow in faith? How do we help them follow and help others follow, belong and help others belong, serve and help others serve? Well, if that was your task, what would you want us to do? How would we help them follow and help others follow? So, of course, we want to teach them the scriptures and teach them the Bible stories. But one of the things that we started doing is we started doing these little memory verse cards. So they have 3 weeks to learn one memory verse. My daughter thinks she only needs two, but three is better. And each week there are like little activities. So the very first week is like an activity which is, what does this mean? I've learnt the verse, now just explain to somebody. Put it in your own words, right? And then week two's activity is, how do I obey this verse? How do I obey it? And share with somebody how you can live this verse. Is there something you can do this week? And then the last one is, who can I share this with? How can you share what you've learnt from this Bible verse with someone else? So this last memory verse, I think from memory, was 2 Timothy 3:16, is it? All scriptures God breathed. It's a slightly different translation that they had, but so one of the reasons why I wanted us to ask that question is I want them to think about learning Bible verses is not just for me, it's for other people. Who can I share this with? When I lead growth groups, there are two questions I try to finish with every time. How do I obey this? What we've just talked about. And who will I share this with? This good news that I've just learned doesn't mean I keep it to myself. I should share it with others. We've been trying to make sure that in our little groups with our kids, that they belong. But we want them to know you make friends too. If people don't have friends in church, they don't go to church or don't go to this church. Everyone needs a friend. Everyone needs a crowd of people that notice you when you walk through the door and wave at you and come and join us. Our youth have been paying attention to that for the last few weeks, and I think they're better off for it. And that cluster of people who are looking out for each other is exactly what you want, isn't it, for our children and our young people. And then serving. Serve and help others serve. Well, we don't want our kids just to think that they come along and everything's done for them, but everyone can take their part in serving. So we're thinking through this. How do we help our kids? Well, let me ask you this. Actually, most of you aren't responsible for kids' church. You're responsible for you. And some of you have additional responsibilities in that you're responsible for your family. You're responsible for you, and you're responsible for some of you for your family. What would you do to have faith that follows and helps others follow, belongs and helps others belong, serves and helps others serve? You fully expect that we are thinking hard and working hard, that we do a good job with children and with young people. You fully expect that, don't you? I fully expect that. Well, why don't we apply the same expectation to our own lives? Because the power of the seed is amazing. But as good gardeners, we've got to prepare the soil. And we can have willing hearts that lets God do his amazing work. This year, it's on my heart that our focus is to have a help others kind of faith. Many of you are doing amazing things and helping others. But at our church, if you come here, that you would have a faith that's good for you and a faith that's good for others. And in the soil of a willing heart, imagine what God's seed can do. I'm already seeing things that stir me, encourage me. Imagine the impact of more of that as we have a faith that helps others. I'm going to pray for us and hope for us that come the end of 2022, we've grown. Wherever you're at, you've grown. We've grown. Today we've seen some inspiring things about people growing. Why not you too? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have this extraordinary life by your Spirit planted in us. And of course, we're going to rejoice when we see it in others. I want to give you thanks for the many ways that your life is flourishing already because there are willing hearts. And God, we want to pray for ourselves and pray for our church that there be more of that life. Because then it's not just good for me, it's good for your world that you love. And you are taking the seeds that are planted in people's lives and doing a secret work that one day will bear forth. I want to join with some parents here who I know that on their hearts they have their children. For some of them, I was their youth pastor, and I know them. And I want to join with them in praying for their kids, who are now big people with their own families. And I want to pray, God, that you might take the seed that was planted in their life and bear fruit, that they might have willing hearts and a soft soil so that that fruit will flourish. And Father, I pray for people that we don't yet know. They could be friends here, but we don't yet know. They're not yet part of our church. But God, that you're already at work and we can't see it. Help us join with you. And when that seed bears its fruit, help us encourage it so that it flourishes for a lifetime. But God, we would pray that as this year unfolds, actually we will grow in our faith for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.